Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Thursday. Today on the radio show, we have a busy day. Because we got Chris Herrington straight up 10 o'clock. The Grizzlies schedule release today. Jeff, are you excited for that?
I like actual schedule release day. I don't like, I'm
you
over
do like actual
I'm
schedule
over
release
the,
day.
The leaking enjoy
what's the most important thing to you? And they were looking at it. What are you most intrigued by?
I think the first thing you always look at is national TV games. And then I think you go to when do the Lakers, when do the Warriors come to town? And then I think, are they going to have a game the day after Thanksgiving? That's always, a big one.
It's funny because the first thing I will look at is who their opener is and who their home opener is, and then how the first 10 games go.
Yeah, I do think if the schedule's front or back loaded, right. Yeah.
Well, I in particular look at the front. I just want to know.
Especially with the injuries.
What's the drama going to be like as it unfolds? Early on. Anyway, we got Chris Herrington straight up 10 o'clock, and then we'll play Right Than Right Trivia. I wasn't here. Last week. And Charles said this may have been for the first time. We had a woman contestant.
Not the first time, but it is unusual.
It was not the first
time. Correct.
And then it was suggested to me that the reason we had a woman contestant, do you remember her name?
It's all right.
She's good.
I apologize. She was such a nice woman.
I'm sure. But you crushed her.
Well, she had a great comeback.
Oh, she did.
I had to get the final question to win.
Well, it was because we were giving away James Taylor tickets. And the thought was that's what motivated. We got lots of women listeners, obviously. But that's what motivated one to go into the jaws of death up against the jaws of the crusher himself. Jeffrey Wright. So what do you think of the theory?
I don't hate it. It was Rosie. Rosie was her name.
It was Rosie. What do you think of the theory?
I don't
Inspired
hate it.
Inspired by James, our man.
I think that I certainly don't think it hurt.
Right.
I'm not going to say it was a zero.
All right. We got Right Than Right Trivia in the second hour. What are we going to give giving away this time?
Jeff, all month long, you can be listening for your chance to win two tickets to see James Taylor at the Bank Plus Amphitheater. I believe it's September the
13th. Yeah, I myself am disappointed because I'm not here. I'm out of town. So
that's new.
And Fishman bought tickets to see James Taylor in D.C. for a hefty price, too, I will say. So anyway, so that's the second hour. We got Chris Herrington, and we'll play Right Than Right Trivia. Kevin Cerita will join us. You don't have to win. You don't have to beat Jeffrey to get the tickets. You just have to play honorably. James Taylor tickets here. Speaking of which, we are now
speaking of Taylors.
Speaking of Taylors, we are now joined by the official Taylor Swift correspondent for the Jeff Calkins Show, Lexi Johnston. And Lexi, of course, it's been a while since we've had you on. There's reason for it here. But again, she was named after James Taylor, wasn't she? Isn't that the idea?
Yes. She was. Her parents were James Taylor fans, and that's where Taylor came from.
So there you go. So I did not watch, listen, what everyone does to consume the podcast last night. I gather it was nearly 2 hours on 120, no, more than 2 hours. It was 124 minutes on the Kelce Brothers podcast. Taylor Swift was there and in person. It is interesting. I got Charles, our friend Charles Fishman in Washington, D.C., said he listened to the first 20 minutes and was bored out of his mind. You then, I gather, tweeted. He sent me your tweet, and your tweet was, just had the best FaceTime ever with my besties. That was seriously the best thing I've ever seen, ever. That is from, so no overstatement there. That is from our official Taylor Swift correspondent to the Jeff Calkins show. So what made, first of all, was there news? Tell us the news that emerged from the podcast.
Well, she talked a lot, I mean, obviously about her album. That was towards the end. And she talked about the process of buying back her masters. Those were the two big things, or like buying back all of her music.
Right.
Those are the things that have happened since like we last heard from her.
The release will be on October 3rd. And that is 10-3. And she likes 13, right? Isn't that her number? I'm trying to keep up with you people.
Correct.
And
you got it.
And it's going to be a small album. Now, I think I went to an album release party at your house for the Tortured Poets Department? Is that what that was?
Yes. Yes, we had a release party.
Of course we did. That one that had 31 songs. This one a tight 12. What do you think?
I'm super excited. I mean, the Tortured Poets, the last album, was kind of crazy because she announced it from nowhere. She wrote it while she was on the tour, and then it released at, you know, midnight or whatever. And like 2 hours later, she's like, surprise, here's the whole second album to it. And so it was just a lot. I mean, it was awesome, but it was a lot to digest. And I'm sort of happy that we're recalibrating and getting back to like a normal, you know, like she's made a point to say there are 12 songs on it. There's not going to be a 13. There's no surprise second album. Like, this is it. And I'm super excited. And she worked with the producers who produced 1989, like all of her pop
and
stuff.
Red.
So she
and
was
Red.
Like,
Red's, what's
yeah.
Red? Red's another album?
Red's another album. And so it's going to be, you know, she let us know it's going to be pop and fun and upbeat. So I think, yeah, I'm super excited.
So that was the last album, by the way. Again, I was reading about this, was not well reviewed. People were like, she could have used an editor. Is that your sense of that? And this one will
be. She said it was a data dump of how she was feeling on the tour. And she, like, I think she writes like all the time. And obviously a small fraction of that gets turned into songs. But I think she just threw it out there. I mean, I think Swifties loved it. It was very different. And it was never meant to be an album that she would do a whole tour around. You know,
The Swifties not love everything, though. Like, in fairness, is there anything that Swifties don't love about Taylor Swift?
That's a good point.
There must be something. Like, is there something?
Antihero is a banger. I thought the whole album stunk, but Antihero is one of her all time best.
So okay. But Jeffrey's theory is, by the way, to the album, that she is best writing about misery and sadness, and he's a little concerned. This, I gather, she said it was a reflection. She said life is more upbeat is one of the things she said in the podcast. And so this is going to capture the energy that she's feeling now. And it's going to be more upbeat. Do you think she's better writing about sadness than happiness?
I think she, possibly. I think a lot of people, the way she writes about sadness and like breakups, I think a lot of people relate to, but I think that I think her pop and upbeat stuff is really fun. Like most of her hits, like biggest, you know, chart hits or whatever are the like happy upbeat.
What do you think? What is her biggest pop hit?
Oh.
Do you know off the top of your head?
No, I have no idea.
It's complicated. Are we talking about the best selling or the stuff like Spotify most viewed? Because she's in that weird spot where, like, I would imagine Love Story's probably her best-selling song, but I don't know if it's like
the most played song.
Right.
What's the one that, like, someone who's not a Swiftie is most apt to know, right? Is it Shake It Off or something? You know, like, everyone knows that song.
Yeah, something
right?
like Shake It Off or 22 or Love Story, something like that.
Yeah. Okay, so what made, I take it you watched all 2 hours and 4 minutes as it unfolded? Is this what happened?
Yes. I will say YouTube crashed like an hour and 40 minutes into it. And so they instantly were like, you know, we'll be right back. But I ended up listening to the last, you know, 20 something minutes. So that's what we all did because it didn't come back till like midnight. So, but yes, I watched it all. I will say I was nervous all day about it because I was like, Taylor just doesn't do these kind of things. And I honestly thought, I mean, I've seen their show before. I know the format, but I thought she was just going to be a guest for like 5 to 10 minutes. I didn't realize the whole thing was going to be her because she just doesn't do those things. And
have you ever seen an extended interview with Taylor Swift?
No, she's done stuff before, like with Barbara Walters, but it's always been like about something in her life. I'm telling you, this was like a FaceTime. Like she just sat there and chatted for 2 hours.
I gather when she was the Time Person of the Year, whatever, she sat for an interview, but she doesn't even do that.
Right.
She doesn't sit for interviews with media either. So
right.
Part of what was, so you were nervous because you wondered how this would go. You're nervous on her behalf? Is that how this works?
Yes. I was like, I hope that like the world doesn't end. I mean, I was like, this is delicate. She's going on, you know, I'm sure predominantly male sports, like a football podcast, quote unquote. And she's going to talk and like people might, there's a lot of that fan base that might end up hating her more or like just being annoyed with the whole thing.
No one who hates her like me, and I don't hate her. I hate the Kelseys and I hate it only because I hate the Chiefs and only because they beat the Bills. So it's not real hate.
Right.
But those people weren't listening. Those people, it was so at one point, 1.3 million were watching live, as I gather the number. Don't you imagine that 1.1 million or 1.2 million were Swifties?
Yes, 100%.
So what was so great about it? What did you love about it?
Okay, I have a couple things. First of all, was just blown away with how normal they are. Like, I sat there and listened to her talk about sourdough bread for like 5 minutes.
Right.
And we got updates on her parents' medical situations. Like,
yeah,
her dad,
she's worried about her dad, right?
Yes. And which is just bizarre to even know that. Like, she's just so private. And just to see her speaking about it. We have never really seen her speak to a boyfriend or partner or man before. Like, I was like, this feels illegal. I feel like I shouldn't be watching this. Like, we just don't see her interact with people. So it was really interesting to see how they are together. Let's see.
So it was because the curtain is never pulled back.
Right.
That what you reveled in it was, Charles thought it was quote unquote boring because it was the normal was unprecedented. Just
right.
Talking about sourdough bread or buying back your albums or whatever. You never get that. Is that?
Never.
Yeah.
But it was also really interesting. She talked a lot. They kind of opened about how she and Travis got together and the details of that. And
that was a podcast originally. Wasn't it on this very podcast where he said he had tried to slip her his number and failed? And then somehow how did they get together after that?
Yeah, he went on the podcast and said, that's exactly where it all started. And she said, like, I wanted to come on here and kind of give back. This podcast got me my boyfriend and like got me happy. So, he apparently, it was hilarious. Apparently he went to the show, you know, he was in a suite or whatever and thought because he knew the woman who runs the elevator that she would let him down into her dressing room and it didn't happen. And so then he, went on the podcast and Taylor heard about it and was like, oh no, did this man, like, did they reach out to us? Did we not give them VIP? And her team was like, no, we don't know who this is. Like, we never heard from him. And so then his plan was going to be to go on Instagram and comment, you know, on one of her posts. And she has her comments turned off. And so he was like, well, I'll just go on the podcast. And then people that know both of them or like people that know her friends started being like, oh my gosh, he's a great guy. Like, Taylor, you've got to give him a chance. And so she was like, okay, he seems kind of crazy, but
so
okay.
What, do we know what their first date was?
No, they did mention it, but they didn't say what it was.
Did they correspond before the first date?
Like, yes, they did.
There was some back and forth before.
There was
the first
some
date.
Back and forth, yes.
To see if there was, to they hit it off. Okay, here's the other Fishman thing. He doesn't think that they have great chemistry. Do you?
Oh, I couldn't. My jaw was on the floor. I was like, yes, I thought they had awesome chemistry.
I told him he's wrong about all these counts, by the way. I did inform him that I thought he was wrong about all these counts. And that one of the things you like best about this is that you like seeing her happy and you like reveling and immersing yourself in watching their chemistry.
Yes. And just like how normal they are. I could not believe how normal they are because she just has seemed so untouchable. Like, we just don't know anything about her private life. And I was like, oh, like she talked about being on sourdough blogs while he's playing video games. And I was like, okay, they're normal. But I thought they could not, they just were giggly. I mean, we're 2 years in, and they sort of looked to me like they were 2 months in, you know, just honeymoon phase. Very giggly, very, touching each other. Yeah, I thought they had great chemistry.
So you thought it was great. The whole thing was fabulous.
I thought the dark horse of the interview was Jason Kelsey. He was fantastic. I'm sure some of the questions were pre-written or whatever, but his follow-up questions, Swifties have always kind of said he's one of us, he's for the Swifties, because he will ask Travis, you know, in previous podcasts, nuanced Swiftie questions, and we're trying to get us answers to stuff.
Listened to this podcast before?
Yeah, in the middle of, not the whole thing, but in the middle of football season, or if something had happened with them or they were spotted somewhere, because Jason would always be we're going to talk about it.
I see. The other thing that was interesting here was, I gathered, they talked about her growth as a football fan. It is kind of amazing how little she really did. Is it possible as an American to think that the quarterbacks are on the field at the same time competing against each other? You would think even someone who knows nothing about football. So she really, Lou, and of course, maybe it makes sense because she's immersed in writing songs. She's not paying no attention to any of this as a young adolescent, but she went from zero to talking about cover zero now.
I know, it was hilarious. She made a good point on along those lines. She said she growing up, she went to sports games to sing the national anthem. She went to anything sports related was a means to an end in her life to further her music career. And so she never really watched them. So yeah, it was, Travis said on their first date that she was asking what does it feel like when you're playing in the Super Bowl and you're on the field and you look across and there's your brother. And he was well, we're not on the field at the same time. And she's what do you mean? You know, she had no idea, if you've never paid attention to the inner workings of it, why would you know that?
Right.
I guess.
But then they did also talk about the way that show business and that her tour, that the athleticism, the grind, all of that. And it corresponds very much to football, I gather. That was a topic?
Yes. And I remember, I think maybe the first time I came on the show, you had asked me, did I think it would last? And I was I don't know. But, it kind of makes sense. She's never dated someone that was, big in their own world, much less an athlete. But then hearing them talk about it today, or last night, I was oh. Even Travis was our recovery is the same. What she puts her body through, the training she had to go through. So it was really fascinating to hear how they she was his practices are the same, practice days are the same every day, then his game day he's the same routine. She's I'm the same way. It's the practice is just rehearsal, the game is just the show, and they just have different terms for it, but it's the exact same thing and the same lifestyle.
Talking to Lexi Johnson, she's the official Taylor Swift correspondent of the Jeff Calkins Show. Do you think he's smart enough for her?
Yes, I do.
And you think she's very smart. She's very, right? But you think he's smart enough in his own way.
Yes. And I think intelligence can come in lots of forms, but I feel like they complement each other well. She has a funny line on her last album. There's two Travis songs that almost, I love them, but they feel like they were thrown in and they don't really fit the vibe of the sad poetry album. But one of the lines in the song is, you know how to ball, I know Aristotle. And the whole night I kept being yeah, he knows football, she knows poetry. She knows writing, and I feel like they complement each other well. And he tried to downplay, she would use words esoteric or whatever, and he was Jason was what does that mean? And he was spitting out the definition, he was yeah, I had to learn. So I feel like they complement each other, and they're smart enough, they care about each other enough.
How many times, how many times, by the way, obviously she's done with the Eras tour, and she said she wrote this or recorded it on tour. She would fly to where?
Sweden.
Sweden.
Max Martin's back, baby.
She'd fly to Sweden. Jeff, look at Jeffrey. Jeffrey, do you have any questions? You actually know this topic. Do you have any questions that you want to ask Lexi?
No, Lexi, I just want to say, when I heard she was going back to Sweden, which means that Max Martin is back,
right.
I will say it got me way more fired up for the pop stuff because he's the greatest pop writer of all time.
I know. It's going to be awesome.
How many times in the Eras Tour? Well, how many did you? How many times did you go to?
I'm embarrassed to tell you, but I went 7 times.
Oh my God.
On 3 different continents.
Oh my God! What were the continents?
America, Australia, and Europe.
Oh my God! 7.
I know.
What was?
I know.
Was there a best show?
No, there's sort of a thing that each show is known for its own, like something happens at each show. Like the Nashville Rain Show was awesome. Sydney, Australia was awesome just because it was Sydney, and it was my first concert ever, not in America. And then, Amsterdam, I actually got to go twice. We ended up with free tickets to a second show in Amsterdam, and the second show was the night that she sang the, like, Travis mash. She sang songs she's never sung before that are her, like, some of her best love songs, and mashed it up, and Travis was there and he cried. So, I mean, you know, there's like something that happens at every show.
What do you think is going to happen? Like, it's not like the Beatles who broke up, right? Like, so that's what ended the Beatles. What do you think is going to happen? Taylor Swift cannot be this much of a cultural icon all the time, right? Like, no one is.
Madonna still plays shows.
Yeah, but she's not. But, oh, I don't mean not playing shows, but she's not particularly relevant in American pop culture anymore.
Sure.
Madonna. Is Taylor Swift going to be Taylor Swift for the next 30 years? What, Lexi, how is this going to play out? And what's going to happen to their relationship? Let's wrap it all up into one. Are they going to get married?
Yes.
When? On the 13th, on the 13th of some month.
We won't know about it. I bet we find out, like, way later. And, I mean, I bet they're engaged, and they've been engaged for a long time. I have no reason to think that. I just would be shocked. I won't be shocked if I find out that they're engaged, and they have been for, like, a year.
They live together, right? Where do they live?
Right.
I mean, I think wherever they want.
But she has houses wherever, but I think they're mostly in Kansas City.
Isn't that bizarre?
Yes.
That's just sort of hilarious. It'll be interesting. Will they still be in Kansas City if this is his last year? When will they remain in Kansas City?
I doubt it.
You'll head up.
New York. Yeah, New York's like kind of like her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, any other questions, Jeffrey?
No.
Any other observations, Lexi?
Nope. I think we hit the highlight.
Pretty much covered it. We appreciate you on this most important morning after. Thank you, Lexi. Appreciate it.
All right.
It's Lexi Johnston.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Did you see any of it? You saw clips?
I saw clips. I did not. It was Aaliyah's birthday.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Did you go somewhere? No.
No.
So you have a baby.
Yeah, we have a two-year-old.
You have a two-year-old.
Yeah.
And, that's good. Happy birthday to Aaliyah. You guys have very...
Well, and Josephine's birthday's next week.
Wow.
Aaliyah couldn't hold
month.
Off. Well, so I'm August 3rd. Aaliyah's August 13th. But Aaliyah couldn't just hold out one more day for the 23rd. So Josephine's the 22nd.
That's a big month. All right. Anyway.
It's an expensive
There you
month.
Go. Our Taylor Swift wrap-up for you. The other, I mentioned it before, the other big news today, is the Grizzlies schedule release. But we have learned about their cup games already, Jeffrey.
Indeed.
So here you go. Halloween, that's October 31st, they are playing the Lakers.
Coach Saban's birthday, please.
Coach Saban's birthday. They are playing the Lakers at home. That's an 8:30 tip.
Streaming live on Amazon Prime.
Streaming live on Amazon Prime. Now, that's a Friday night. High school football games, are you playing Thursday? Because it's Halloween, so I gather a bunch of high schools have rescheduled their Friday night games to Thursday night.
So everybody has to play one Thursday night game during the year for officials so that they can use the best officials. usually the 31st is like the last regular season game. Let me pull up our schedule that I have sent to my wife. Okay. So the last game, we will be playing Briarcrest, our regular season finale, on that Friday night.
On that Friday night?
Correct.
So so you won't be at that game then?
I will not. Or, yes, I will not be at that game.
And what do you think of, what do you think of that? What do you think of that? You're going to get the Lakers early, well, relatively, but it's on Halloween. Thoughts?
Yeah. Kevin and I were talking about it. Like, obviously, for trick-or-treating, like, it, with it being late, we were trying to determine whether or not that could open up the ability to go, but I feel like 8:30 is still, like...
Well, you can certainly go out and get some candy early.
Yeah.
I mean, you can... How early can you trick-or-treat? 6 o'clock? Like- 5 o'clock?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
I feel like if kids show up at 5, it's not that...
I think it's that unusual. Yeah, 5. So you could... You could get plenty of candy if that was your goal.
Yeah.
Was to double up on candy.
Yeah.
And LeBron, you could do that. Anyway, that's the first one. Then November 7th, they have Dallas.
One more thing about this, I will venture to find out for the audience. I'm unclear what the rules are going to be if a game streaming on Prime. Will we still get the local broadcast? I'm venturing.
You would
to
have
figure-
to imagine.
I was actually leaning the other way.
Talking about this yesterday. All right, we'll learn more. Memphis football, by the way, is at Rice that same night.
Correct. At 6 p.m. start. So, like, if you do want to double up on the...
You get most of it. You can watch some of Memphis. Yeah. You watch the first half of Memphis football.
Yeah.
But it's going to be hard to...
Well, if it's just streaming on Prime, you can have a computer on
that's
one.
True. November 7th, Dallas at home. And that'll be no Kyrie. For that one. And then on the road, November 26th at New Orleans. When is Thanksgiving? And November 28th at the Clippers. Does it suggest there won't be? Is that the day after Thanksgiving game that you were talking about? That's always a big game to have.
So, remind me the date again.
The 28th.
Yes. The Thanksgiving is the 27th this year.
So, yes. Yeah, so the 28th game. In fact, the 26th you're at New Orleans. That's the day before Thanksgiving, and then you have Thanksgiving, and then you have the 28th at the Clippers.
Correct.
So you're not going to have the crowd. The truth of the matter is, between the MLK game, which is going to be not in Memphis, the Desmond Bane return game, which is going to be not in Memphis, and the Thanksgiving games, which those are three sellouts that will be off the schedule.
I think that's probably true. Or, like, if not sellout,
close.
Typically, the biggest attended games, regardless of opponent, just the dates.
Yeah, it's gonna hurt your overall attendance figures. There, you're gonna have three big ones that are missing. Then, in terms of the schedule release today, you mentioned it. You're interested in when Golden State comes to town?
Yep.
When the Lakers come to town? What's the biggest game? Lakers, always?
That Lakers on Halloween.
Massive.
Feels like a big one. I mean, I think now you have to say when the Rockets come to town.
I guess, because KD?
It's KD, and like there was kind of the... There were, there, There was some juice in those games last year. Now, I mean, how much was that? Was just Dylan?
Yeah,
I
know. Like, yeah, well, without Dylan, it takes a little bit away, right?
I think that's definitely true.
Is there a clear beyond? Is there a clear number three? Like, who's the what's the third most compelling team?
Is it the Thunder?
Because it's funny because it's the defending champions.
But like, don't you agree with this? The Thunder game was bigger in 2014 than it is in 2015 or 2025 because there was more history between those teams.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a little bit of a feeling of futility.
I understand that as
it.
Well.
Like, it's no fun going watch your team get its ass beat, you know?
Yeah, but like,
there's a little bit of a feeling of futility. How about just like a Knicks game?
I think that
Knicks high profile team, big like Knicks game.
Well, like the other bummer, Kevin pointed this out last week. The other bummer about the losing of the MLK game is that Dez's only return to FedEx Forum is now overseas.
Right. No, clearly, yeah.
I think that would have been a big game.
Dez return game. Wait, I just mentioned that. Yeah, Dez return game is gone. So you've doubled up. You've lost the Dez return game. You lose the MLK game, and you lose, and you're not going to have these big games around Thanksgiving. So that's difficult. As I said, I look for the start, and maybe it's just like in the end. And I'm not a big schedule release guy, you know, except for the fact that you do learn your life. You know, you learn something about your life, particularly when I would cover most of the
games.
You can start planning a little bit. And so it's interesting. I don't know why it always feels important to get off to a good start. It almost always feels important to get off to a good start.
Traditionally, I mean, under Taylor, they did not get off to the best of starts.
I think, so why does it matter that they get off to a good start this year? And I think the reasons are, one, well, first of all, they're going to be diminished at the start. You know, there's going to be no Zach Edey. So is that a reason that's important to get off a good start, or is that an excuse for getting off to a slow start? I don't know. If they can get off to a good start without Zach Edey, that will be a good sign, right? You want to limit the damage of Zach Edey. So you kind of want a soft early slate so you don't fall too far behind when Zach Edey is missing. But then secondly, I think the Isolo regime is starting. And let's be honest, people are very equivocal on him, right? I don't think the fan base is sold. I think they're willing to be sold. I think it seems like a nice guy and seems smart enough and whatever else. But I don't – like, this is not
– I don't think the fans like the process. I don't think it's necessarily
– I don't even think they really liked it where they ended up. Like, when Fizdale – didn't work out. But when Fizdale started, there was excitement about David Fizdale.
Yes.
Right? A lot of times when the coach is hired, there's excitement about being – even Taylor Jenkins. You know, whatever. Sure, he was the get-back guy in Milwaukee, but whatever. I think this one is like, really? Really? Like the same guy who was part of a disastrous collapse. Again, it wasn't his fault necessarily, but part of a disastrous collapse last year. There's just a bias against Europeans. I think generally it's the same thing when you draft a European. You know, you got Kristaps Porzingis getting booed because he's not American. He can't be really good at bad. What does he know? And so I think there is not... I think there's some very much wait and see about Isolo. Okay, if this is what they want, they obviously believe in him. But if then you get off to a 2-8 start, it's going to be ugly. Don't you think immediately?
I definitely think so. I think the other reason I would say it's important for a good start is if you have this disastrous start, does that like change? Because Chris has mentioned like...
It's two paths.
Yes.
Right. But they picked a path, but the path has a fork in the road.
Right. But I definitely think you're. I think the fast start's more important for Isolo than probably anyone.
I mean, let's be honest. Here's what we just saw was the Grizzlies collapsing at the end of the season.
Yep,
dropping into a playoff matchup against Oklahoma City, getting destroyed by Oklahoma City, and no one coming to the last home game.
In two months, they went from second in the West to in the play-in.
So maybe it's a little bit like It's a little bit like Memphis football in this regard. With Memphis football, you feel like this is the year they got to do it because they haven't done it. It's really important. And yet you look at them and like, whoa, they have a new quarterback. They had to change their roster. Maybe this is not really the season when we should be demanding that they do it. And it's a little bit like that with the Grizzlies. It's like, well, this is a year they got to get off to a fast start to reengage the population here and get people back on board of Isolo, of the core, all of it. Climbing, like people have questions now that they didn't used to have about this franchise. So a fast start is all that much more important. And yet, if you're being realistic about it, given the fact that they will not be at full health at the start, maybe it's an unfair thing to ask.
No, I mean, I definitely think it's like you nailed it in the terms of, hey, what the fan base wants and what might be realistic might not be
what seems important for
simpatic.
The fan base. Yes, to read. Right now, I'm going to offer you, we don't even know what the schedule is, Jeffrey, okay? We don't even know what the schedule is. I'm going to offer you 5-5 in the first 10 games.
Oh, yeah.
You're taking it.
Anything above 500 without ED, I'm taking.
That wasn't above 500. That's 500.
I'm sorry, 500 or better.
You're taking it. 5-5.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right, we're going to take a break. We have a big show today because we got Chris Harrington. We'll talk about all of this with Chris. Then we got Kevin Cerrito and Writer Than Right Trivia, where we will be giving away, Jeffrey?
2 tickets to see James Taylor, September the 13th, Bank Plus Amphitheater. We're being giving away all month long during August on Writer Than Right Trivia.
If you're looking for a new place to go get something to bite, something to eat, I would recommend Ragin' Cajun. And I've recommended it before, and I'm recommending it because I've been myself. Claire and I went. It's right there in Bartlett. Honestly, we live in East Memphis, but it took us 7 minutes to get there. It is Mason Jambon, who was instrumental in Bounty, a restaurant that I used to talk about. He wanted a place. He's from New Orleans, and he wanted a place that had a neighborhood feel like the places that he grew up going to in New Orleans. And so he created Ragin' Cajun. And it's got a great patio. It's got a great vibe. Easy parking. It's just and great Cajun food. Honestly, we started with the crawfish queso, which was surprisingly fantastic, and we ended with the bread pudding, which was the best bread pudding I have ever had in my life. And I eat bread pudding every time there is bread pudding on the menu. In between, we had a po' boy. We had this houdat catfish, which is fried catfish. A fried catfish fillet topped with crawfish etouffee, just an over-the-top dish. It is a great spot. Couldn't recommend it more highly. It is Ragin' Cajun, 2740 Bartlett Road in Bartlett. If you want to check out the website, cajun901.com. Back in a moment, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do take five. We got more tears, Jeffrey. You know, I think tears are the new Mount Rushmore. Like, in terms of sports talk gimmicks,
yeah.
Once upon a time, you're embarrassed to do a Mount Rushmore now, right? You realize it's too ridiculously cliche to say the words Mount Rushmore and have a discussion about Mount Rushmore.
I also think Pardon My Take kind of did that. By making it a joke, it's been removed.
And so, but you can do tiers. And so what we do is tiers.
See, I think a little differently. I think tiers are the new, I think tiers are replacing rankings because everyone's so, I think we can all kind of acknowledge, like, it's a lot harder to sit there and go.
Rankings are so, they pretend to be precise and about things that cannot be precise. You cannot actually say this is the 16th best player and that's the 17th and have it be meaningful. But tiers are more meaningful. I do agree. Tiers are better than ranking, right? So this, and I haven't studied it because it just dropped.
Yep.
But what's our new tier
So we have subject? This is from The Athletic, Chris Vanini. So here are the tiers.
Hey, by the way, do you think The Athletic is getting to be more? I don't know how many people read it. It's now incorporated. If you have a New York Times subscription,
right.
You get it. People talk about stuff in The Athletic all the time. We do here. As much as we do anything on ESPN.com, is that just a sports talk radio conceit, or do we think more people are reading The Athletic?
I think it's more that they do. I think they're doing more journalism than like ESPN.com. Like in general, like there's because they have more writers. And
ESPN whatnot. Right now, you go to that website and it's mostly clips.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have to look for stories. Like if I missed a game the night before, I can watch a highlight package easily. It's right there. But if I actually wanted to read a story about what happened in the game, it's hard to find. Whereas Athletic, it's you're still correct. Reading stuff. Anyway, okay. So this is college football coaching tiers?
Correct.
All right. What are the tiers called?
Tier number one
is
multi-time champs. So I think you can figure that one out.
Yeah.
Tier two, established winners. Tier three is high-level consistency. Tier four is rising stars and steady hands.
Mm-hmm.
Tier five is up and down. Tier six is show me seasons ahead.
Uh-huh.
Tier seven is work in progress. Tier eight is hottest seats and freshest faces.
All right, so who are the champs?
Multi-champs are Kirby Smart and Dabo Swinney.
Just the two.
Yep.
So let's see if we can guess where Lane Kiffin will be, where Ryan Silverfield will be, and what Josh Heupel will be, okay? So you already know. Tell me the categories again real quick.
Multi-time champs, so we're moving on from there. Tier two is established winners. Tier three is high-level consistency. Tier four is rising stars and steady hands. Tier five is up and down.
Well, so two is what again?
Established winners.
I think they're both established. I think Heupel and Kiffin are both established winners. They're not just the next one. The next one is consistent. That's not what they are. They're
high-level consistency.
Are they two? Should they be in two or three?
I think they should be in two, but they are both in three.
I think they're two. They're
and
established
I also think there's
winners.
A lot of people in two.
I mean, well,
Heupel
won at two places now.
Correct.
Heupel is an established winner.
And he's also, if you look
I don't, by the way, I don't know if you put a different headline on it, I might call it differently. You know, like proven stars, right? Proven star coaches or something. I might then have them in tier three. Because there's questions about each of them that remain. I get it. Like, there's certain questions about each of them. But if the topic is proven winners, they're proven winners. They each took program that was at a different place and elevated it.
Agreed.
How are they not?
I'm you're preaching to the choir here, so keep on preaching.
Okay. But then we're going to go to
let me read you tier two, because I think there's a few that are maddening. Kurt Cignetti, he's won at JMU, and he won 1 year. Like, that is way too much cart before the horse.
How is that proven winner a more than Josh Heupel is proven winner?
Correct.
Now, he won at a very high level at a place that you shouldn't be expected to, but yeah, okay, keep going.
Let him roll a 5-7 this year. Ryan Day, fine.
100%.
Kalen DeBoer.
But you can't have Ryan Day and Cignetti in the same tier.
I agree. James Franklin, Marcus Freeman, Brian Kelly, Dan Lanning, Lance Leipold, Lincoln Riley, Steve Sarkisian, Kyle Whittingham.
By the way, Lincoln Riley
established winner? Was he just an established winner at Oklahoma?
What's the show me the year thing at the end? Like, need a good year. Lincoln Riley could be in that tier, too.
Well, thank God for his buyout.
So, all right. So, tier three is consistent.
High-level consistency.
I mean, and what's the next one?
The next one is rising stars and steady hands.
So, the question is Ryan high-level consistency or is he a steady hand? I think he is.
Not a rising star?
With all due respect, he's not.
No, I'm with you.
He's just not. Like, he's been here too long to be a rising star, honestly, right? Don't you think? And so you can choose between those two. I think he's a steady hand.
You are correct, indeed.
He's a steady hand. But you could make an argument for high-level consistency.
I don't think he can.
Not high-level. If you haven't been to a championship game in this conference, it's steady hand.
Steady hand.
Right now, he's a steady hand.
Yeah.
So he's in the category with the rising stars. So you don't know if they identified him as a rising star or a steady hand. Are there words? about him?
No, because it's just in. It's just listed. Let's see if he made it into the blurb is underneath, but it's not. They don't do a blurb on every single coach.
All right, we this is supposed to be a take five, Jeffrey. We're not going to get to five. We're going to have to race through some others.
We got tiers.
We're going to come. We do have tiers. We could have. I could have thrown out tier five.
Yeah.
I finished and just done the tiers. We'll revisit this clearly another moment. What's number two? Let's keep going. Okay, Sam Vecenie. God, there's too many good topics here. Sam Vecenie did a redraft. You haven't seen this.
No, you've just told me about it.
The NBA redraft. Again, from The Athletic. Here's my point. Where do you think that Jalen Wells and Zach Edey went? Just, you can even ballpark
Wells.
It for me.
Okay, so I'm going to say Edey was about the same.
Edey was the eighth pick in the draft, I believe. Was he the eighth or ninth?
He was ninth.
He was the ninth pick in the draft. Do you think he was roughly the same?
Yeah, I think he's going to be about the same.
And where do you think, well, who do you think was higher, Edey or Wells?
I still think Edey was higher.
Wells lottery?
I'm going to say Wells was around like 15.
Zach Edey, who was drafted 9, is 8 in the redraft.
Okay.
And Jalen Wells, who was drafted in the second round, is 9 in the redraft.
Okay.
So y'all can say what you want about Zach Kleiman, but that's a damn effective draft. That is a damn effective draft. The order, and we can talk about this more with Chris, the order is, and of course, it's an impossible question, because who goes higher? Reed Shepard, who didn't play particularly, and when he played, he didn't play particularly well.
Yes.
But is still considered to have a higher upside than Zach Edey. Who would go higher in a redraft? Here they had Reed Shepard, but it's purely based on potential. It's not based on anything they did in the first year, certainly not compared to Jalen Wells. So it's a weird exercise this early. Stephon Castle is number one. Zachary Risacher is number two. Jared McCain is three. Guy the Grizzlies could have picked. See how many they missed on, how many they could have picked. Reed Shepard is four. Again, Reed Shepard played 654 minutes and didn't play that well. Donovan Klingon is 5. He was actually picked 7. Bouzelis from the Bulls is 6. He was picked 11. Grizzlies could have picked him. Ron Holland is 7. He went number 5. And then Zach Edey is 8. And we're not going to get to take 5. It's going to be a take 2 today, Jeffrey, because I want to read these blurbs on this. And Jalen Wells is 9. Here's the comment on Zach Edey. Edey looks like a prototypical play finishing big, averaged 9 points and 8 rebounds in 22 minutes per game this season, hitting 58% from the field and consistently being a threat around the rim. More importantly, the team was dominant in its minutes when he was on the court with Ja Morant. Edey is a bulldozing screener who loves physicality, much like Steven Adams. So it should come as no surprise that in Morant's minutes with Edey, because he's outscored opponents by nearly 10 points per 100 possessions, posting an average offensive rating over 121. And on defense, the pairing of Edey with Jaren Jackson Jr. saw the Grizzlies allow only 109.6 points per 100 possessions, a mark that would have been top 3 in the NBA. That's all pretty optimistic there. With the good news, with the Grizzlies looking to incorporate even more ball screen action this season with Morant, Edey's game is a perfect fit. However, he'll need to get healthy after undergoing surgery in June to stabilize his left ankle, expected to miss the start of the season, and will be reevaluated in October. Still, he looks like a long-term starting center in the NBA. Any objections to any of that?
Nope.
Jalen Wells, who again went 39th, and they have him 9 in a redraft. Wells was probably the rookie who was most impactful on winning basketball for the first 3 quarters of the season, as his willingness to take on tough defensive assignments for the Grizzlies was incredibly valuable when mixed with his 3-point shooting. At the very least, Wells can knock down shots off the catch, plus provide a strong outlet option in transition for the team's up-tempo offensive look. He tailed off a bit late in the year, but was rightfully a finalist for Rookie of the Year. So why does he come in at 9? I'm worried about his upside, even if he's already established himself as a borderline starting quality player. He hasn't even showcased much off the bounce. The name that comes to mind as a point of comparison is Josh Richardson, a player drafted in the second round in 2015, who immediately emerged as a rotation player, was a terrific two-way role player for nearly a decade, and made $62 million before going overseas this year. He never really elevated beyond that level, and I'm worried Wells might not either. Still, that's worth a lottery pick in this class, and it's a win for both the Grizzlies and for Wells. Any objections to that?
No, I honestly think Jalen had an unbelievable year, considering where he's drafted, what he meant to the team. I do also think getting hurt kind of changed the myth around him. That I felt like during the playoffs, there were a lot of fans that were acting like, well, if they had Wells, this is different. And I just did not feel that way because his shooting finished below league average from three. But at the same time, like you can't deny, like, that was a great pick.
Right. Great pick. But I think correct to have him behind Edie.
Yeah.
Right. So there you go. We'll talk to Chris about this coming up next. And again, after that, we'll do Writer Than Right Trivia, where we'll be giving away two tickets to James Taylor. I'll take a break. Back in a moment. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.